morning, everyone. I should be right now, Lord willing, in India, where I'm going to be teaching pastors in many different states and in cities in the country of India. And then, Lord willing, toward the latter end, I'll be making my way over to China to do some teaching as well. But we've really, really privileged to have this week and the following weeks some special guests, and I'm really excited about Christopher Coleman, who's with us today. I'll just say this. You've probably never heard a speaker like Christopher Coleman. So I want you to give a warm, warm chapel welcome to Christopher Coleman.
Thank you so much. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. That's not good enough. Come on. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Amen. But let's be honest. Sometimes that is difficult to do. Life happens. Situations happen. People die. We lose the one we love. We get sick. We lose our jobs. I mean, that happens. That makes it difficult to praise the Lord. And I want to say, I know where he's coming from. Because it is difficult. I remember right after I got saved, reading in the Bible. And when it was Paul talking to Jesus about a thorn in the side. And we all know what the thorn in the side was. But whatever it was, Paul did not want to deal with it. It was bad. Paul went to the Lord 3 times, begging the Lord to take it away from them. And I'm like, I know where you're coming from, Paul. But then Paul said, the Lord told him, his grace is sufficient. And at that moment, I'm like, excuse me. I don't know what Paul is dealing with, but I know what I'm dealing with. And I need something more than this. Your grace is sufficient. Where are you coming from, Paul? I mean, come on. I look up to the Lord and I say, God, come here. Come here. We got to have a talk. You ever just had to talk with the Lord? And I said, Lord, I believe in your word. And I believe that your word is true. But that grace is sufficient. You got to help me understand that. Well, I've been in the wheelchair for almost 37 years now. And you know what? His grace is sufficient. I know it now. I knew it now. Preparing for the week, I've been praying, and the Lord led me to Psalm 31. And I've just been reading through and looking through Psalm 31. I'm not going to read it out to you, but I want to point out some things that really grab my heart. In Psalm 31, verse 7, I will be glad and I will rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities. And then over in verse 12, I am forgotten like a dead man or a man. I am a broken vessel. Then we move on to verse 14, it says, but as for me, I will trust you, O Lord. And then the last two verses, love the Lord, all of his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithfulness and full repentance at the trial. Be of good courage. All he shall strengthen your hearts and all your hope in the Lord. Amen. Amen. But Chris, we say Chris, that sounds great, but let's talk about life. And I'm here to share with you my life, my struggles. When I was born, I was pronounced dead. No heartbeat, no vital signs, nothing. I was dead. They took my body, they put it in the back of the room, they covered me up, and they told my parents he didn't make it. He did. Well, 15 minutes later, my evil twin sister was born. Yeah, that's right. I call my evil twin. I mean, she was born. The doctor heard another cry in the back of the room. So I went over where my dead body was laying. They pulled back the sheet and... Here I am. But they told my mom, I'm with at least 15 minutes without any oxygen to my brain. Now, imagine that. 15 minutes. I have a friend of mine, and we always joking around. He said, you know, Chris, I can do anything you can do. I'm like, oh, yeah? Don't breathe for 15 minutes. But because I went so long without any oxygen to my brain, they said I had no hope for a normal life, that I would be a complete vegetable. They told my mom to take me, put me in a home, and forget that I was even born. Because all I will do is that later, like a vegetable. My father told my mom that it would be me or him, that he would not raise a son like me. So that day he went home, he packed his bags, and he left my mom with 7 kids to raise by herself in a project of New Orleans. So back up, let me get this straight. You were pronounced dead at birth. No oxygen to the brain. You are laid out a total vegetable for the rest of your life. Your father walked out and left your mom with 7 kids to wait by herself in the project of New Orleans. You really had no hope. But my mom, thank God, she believed in Jesus Christ. She believed that God had a plan for my life. And she took me home. And she raised me. Now, I'm going to be honest and fast forward to take to a point that I'm about 5 years old. Now, some people will say, of your 5-year-old boy in a wheelchair, you can't get into too much trouble. That, my friends, is a lot. Because anybody in my house could get into trouble. Sign me up, I'm there. And my favorite part, my mom, my poor mom, she would never believe her sweet little angel would do something like that. So I would tell her my sister did it, and she would believe me every time. I used to get in trouble just to get back at my sister. But one of my favorite things I like to do is wait till everyone will fall asleep. And I will crawl out of my bed into my evil twin sister's room, grab her books, crawl into her bathroom, lock the door, and open the books. And at night, for 9.5 years, God would come down and begin to work out his plan in my life. Now you say, wait a minute, are you saying that you taught yourself how to read? I'm saying God had a plan And his plan was to make so that no one can account for what he was doing in my life. Yeah, I'm in God. Praise him. I'm ready to assume. But at that time, I could not talk. So I had no idea what was going on up here. But every night in that bathroom, God would come down. I was quite surprised, and I showed you on my papers as mentally disabled. Now, I got a joke I like to share with people. When I met one of my best friends in the world, he said, "Clint, I got to be honest with you. When I first met you, I thought you were mentally disabled." I'm like, "That's funny. When I first met you." I thought you were mentally disabled. But I say that to say I'm not mentally or physically disabled. Because I live for an able God. After 9 years of being in the bathroom, teaching myself how to read and everything I can get my hands on, one day I'm in the living room watching TV, and my mama in the kitchen cooking, and the weather get real bad on the outside. Till a new bulletin come across the TV screen. And my mama like, "Hold up, I'm coming to read that." I'm like, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'll read it to you." Keep in mind, she had no idea what I was doing every night in that bathroom. So I read it to her. She come out of the kitchen and she looked at me and looked at the TV and look at me again and say, "Baby boy, you just read that to me." "Yeah." She said, no, "You don't understand. You just read that to me." I'm like, "We all can read, can't we?" What the big deal? Well, they gave me an IQ test at the age of 16. And they found out that I was reading and writing on the 9th grade level. Never been in a real classroom before in my life. And here I am reading and writing on the 9th grade level. They told my mom, "He's very intelligent, but we're not going to put him in school it would cost the state way too much money to provide him an aid and computers and all of that. It's just not going to happen. Now, at this point, I need to tell you something about my mom. My mom is not one of those people you want to say no to. No, someone asked me, how would you describe your mom? I'm like, well, my mom is a lion. He's like, a lion? Why a lion of all things? I said, have you ever saw on TV where a lion is walking in a field all beautifully and calmly? Is it a bit beautiful picture of the lion? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, what you don't know about that lion is he just ate someone alive. But my mom, she would eat you alive. And so that fall, I went into the neighborhood. 4 years later, that same baby pronounced dead at birth, giving up hope for a normal life. That same baby that they said will never move, never walk, never talk. Graduated with a 4.1 GPA. Not bad. But you know something, I remember that moment I asked my mom what the big deal. When I found out what the big deal was, can I tell you? You see, we read the Bible every day. We read about God performing miracles after miracles after miracles. And we pass over them as if they don't exist anymore. That God is no longer performing that type of miracle. And the big deal is I found out that God is still working miracles every day. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you've seen in your life. He probably can say, quit. I've never seen a miracle. Well, as of today, you see one now. I am a true miracle of God. So, during the time of graduation, I really tried to think about my life. And think about what I'm going to do with my life. And I knew mentally in my mind I could do anything I wanted to do. But physically, my life would be a challenge. I had some obstacles before me. So I went to my mom. And I said, Mama, how did you do it? How did you raise 7 kids on your own? I'm going to tell you, even though my mom can be a handful, she's my hero. Anybody that can hang in there and accomplish what she accomplished with 7 kids, one of them being me, is my hero. And my hero looked at me dead in the eye and said it wasn't me. It was Jesus Christ. Amen. I knew right then, even though I've been in church all my life, it was time for me to give him my life and trust him with my life. And so that Sunday I went up and I gave my heart and my disability and all my hopes and all my pain and all my confusion to the Lord. And I found out that in return, He gave me hope.
Amen.
He gave me joy.
Hallelujah.
He gave me mercy. And He gave me grace. And so,
Amen.
I went off to college 10 minutes away from home. I let you. Everything going good. Amazing and pretty well. Doing quite well for 2 years. And God said, okay, I want you to move to Maryland, Georgia. Say what? You want me to do what? Come here, God. We got to have a talk. I'm like, God, I can't do what you're asking me to do. Look at me, God. Look at the hands that I can't hold straight for nothing. Listen at the voice that can barely pronounce my own name. Look at the body, the deformed, crooked body. I can't do that, Lord. Just look at me. And He said something to me, I never forget. He said, I don't have to look at you. I made you. I made you. I made your hands. I made your feet. I made your voice. I made you that in the way you are. And get what? I don't make junk. But if you know me, I tend to be a little bit sarcastic. And I said, okay, God, you convinced me that I just moved to Maryland, Georgia. But I want to see you convince my mama to let me move to Maryland, Georgia. Let's see how good you really are. I Jackson Curtin, and I said, Mom, I'm moving to Marietta, Georgia. And she looked at me, and she said, baby boy, are you out of your mind? I'm like, yeah. But what your point? She said, there's no way I'm going to let you up and move to Minnesota on your own. It's not going to happen. And for some reason, at that moment, I got really, really bold. Like, very bold. Bold enough to step into a lion's den. And I said, Mama, you told me that I believe in that book. And I stayed true to his word. That he will be with me no matter where I go. I said, are you saying you lied to me? And when I said that, I had it right where I was. She was jelly in the palm of my hand. She thought about it, but she didn't think too long, and she said, you know what? I want you to go. Because the truth of it is, I can tell y'all about the Lord and who he is, but you never really know him until you get out there and you try him for yourself. The summer of 1995, they packed up my van and they drove me out to Southern Polytechnic University in Marietta, Georgia. They unloaded my van and they left me there by myself. And then Georgia, I knew absolutely no one in the whole state of Georgia. And my family in a van driving 700 miles back the other way. Come here, God. We got to have a talk. God, I want to go home. Like, Chris, I got a plan for your life. I know that, God, but can you work out that plan in Baton Rouge? I want to go home. He said, Chris, I got a plan for your life. 2 years later, that same baby that they said would never move, never walk, never talk, became the first and only college graduate and hit whole family. I'm thinking, cool, I can go back home and get a job and just live a normal life. And going like, nope. I'm calling you to travel all over the world and tell people about what I am doing in your life. And I'm glad you clapping because I didn't clap. I'm like, you want me to do what? You want me to get in front of people and speak? I love you, Jesus, but you got the wrong one. Not me, not with my voice, not with my situation. Like, yeah, I'll call you to get up and speak. And this year, I am celebrating 10 years in the ministry. But I come here, God brought me here to Crockport for a very specific purpose. A purpose that he was planning on working out almost 37 years ago. 37 years ago, God knew that I would be on this day before you. I believe that God gave me a specific message for you this morning. Do you want to hear? Listen, let me ask you, let me tell you why I ask you, are you sure? In the Bible, there a man that lay by the pool of Siloam trying to get him for a healing. He been laying there for 33 years, God shows up on the scene. Jesus shows up on the scene. And he gets Jesus' attention. And he says, Jesus, I've been laying here for 33 years now. I think it was 35 actually. And he said, I've been trying to get to a pool of Siloam. No one will help me, and I just can't get there. And Jesus asked him a question, a very peculiar question. Jesus said, do you want to get well? Jesus, he been laying on that for 35 years now. What do you mean? Do you want to get well? I think Jesus was saying, if I hear you, then you are accountable. No more weeping. No more crying. If I take away your existence, are you prepared to live your life for me? Do you want to get well? Do you truly want me to share with you the mission that I thank God brought me here to share with? I got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is I can't tell you. The good news is I can show you. Can I show it to you? Saying what in the world are you doing? I'm getting out my wheelchair. I'm getting out of my wheelchair. And when I come to Willow, everybody, I don't care who you are, got a wheelchair in the lap. Your wheelchair could be your pants. Your wheelchair could be sex. Your wheelchair could be alcohol, drugs, lying, cheating. I don't know what your wheelchair is, but here's what I want you to know. Just like I might complain to my wheelchair, you don't have to be confined to your wheelchair. You can get out with the power of Christ. Here's one thing I learned. I learned that you truly can't grab onto a cross by sitting in a wheelchair. You got to let go one or the other. I chose to let go of that chair.
Hallelujah!
And my hope and Jesus ain't gonna catch me if I fall. And the life haven't been easy. I have made some mistakes along my way. Some people have done me wrong. But I can tell you that Jesus have kept me. I'm fault. So I want to challenge you that morning to get out of your wheelchair, to find hope in Jesus Christ by letting go of whatever thing you are holding on to and trust him that he will not let you fall. I let me call point. I just want to thank you for allowing me to come and share. I hope your dream of finding real solid hope just as successful at mine was.
Thank you.
Chris, that was awesome. That was awesome. You want your Bible, Chris?
There you go. Good job, bud.
Hey, be seated. If you would be seated for just a moment. If you would be seated for just a moment. There are a couple things that I just wanted to... wow, that was powerful, wasn't it? That was amazing. He had a specific challenge for us, and that is to get out of our wheelchair. And I don't know what it is for you. Is it fear? Is it something in your life, some relationship? Perhaps it's even unbelief. Maybe that's the wheelchair that you've been in. But I can tell you this. You saw a testimony here. Somebody who trusts God. And they've learned something very, very important. He talked about his journey for 37 years. And he can look back on his journey and he can say, you know what? I can trust God today. Because I know God holds in his hand every tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
And we need to do the same thing. So what I'm going to ask you to do here in just a moment, we're going to pray. But when we stand up and leave this place after I'm done praying, whatever it is, I want you to leave it in your seat. I want you to stand up when we're done praying and leave whatever you have. God has spoken to you specifically today. Whatever that is, I want you to leave it here. Pastor Chris is going to be in the fireside room. And so if you'd like to come by and just say hello to meet him, he's got a book that he's written. He's an amazing story. There's stuff in there. He would love to meet you. So if you have a few minutes, swing by the fireside room and say hello to him. If you're watching online, you can catch his ministry is online at christophercoleman.net. ChristopherColeman.net. You can catch him there. If you're in Lockport, you can pick him up there as well, and you can buy his books and his things online. But stop by and say hello to him and be an encouragement to him. And if you're visiting today, swing by the fireside room as well. We'll have some folks in there that would love to meet you. And if you are in a place right here today, and the wheelchair in which you want to get out of is one of unbelief, you know who you are. God has spoken to you through Chris. If that is you, when we're praying, you go before God. His word says that if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave and paid our sins, we are saved. That can be you today. If God has spoken to you in such ways, I encourage you to do that. Come by the fireside room. We're not going to sign you up for anything. We got some people in there that'll pray for you. They'll give you something to help you with your journey. But respond to God today. Let us pray. Father, we're in awe of your power. We're in awe of how you use people for your glory. We thank you for the witness and the testimony that we're just blessed with today. Father, it was amazing. Your grace is sufficient. You are trustworthy. And Father, for those under the sound of my voice, may we, Father, get out of the chair in which we're sitting, the chair that we feel confined to, the chair that we feel that we'll never break free from. But we know, Lord, that by faith there is freedom. There is freedom from the law, there's freedom from sin, there's freedom from death, and it's only found in your Son, Jesus. And so, Father, for those in this room who need to come to you, need to get out of their chair of unbelief, may they do so. May you speak into their life even now, Father. We thank you for your goodness, we thank you for your graciousness, and may we walk in a way that is honoring unto you and reflective, Father, of the price that you paid to redeem us. We thank you, we love you, and we ask these things in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you, Chapel family. We'll see you next week.